morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you. It's a beautiful day. Oh my goodness. Wednesday already, July 22nd. How are you doing, my friend? It's just a few more days until the weekend, and it looks like the weather's going to continue to be fabulous. What do you got planned? There's all kinds of things popping up to do this next weekend, and I don't know about you, it's so therapeutic to be outside in nature and in the sun and enjoying fresh air. It's been a wonderful, wonderful last week, and I am so thankful for you tuning in, and I'm hearing from you. You've been emailing me, sending me messages on Facebook Messenger. Thank you for your feedback. I appreciate that so very much. I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. And I want to do a shout out to a couple friends of mine that are having birthdays today. Mark Royalty, he is a super wonderful guy. He's an insurance agent, and he has a birthday today. In fact, he helped me when I ran for Senate back in South Dakota. He worked in the campaign with me and his wife, Jessica, the super cool people. And then my neighbor, Joe Cotton, it's her birthday today. I want to say happy birthday to you, Joe. Hope you're doing well. And if you know someone that is having a birthday today or will be having a birthday, let me know. I'd love to do a shout out to them. And if it's your birthday today, happy birthday. And so we are so in such a weird place right now when we talk about COVID-19 and are we shut down? Are we kind of shut down? And do we wear a mask or don't we wear a mask? And I went on a little adventure yesterday. You know, I have to admit, I've been very, very careful because I don't wear a mask and I actually have an exemption, a medical exemption, but also I have a constitutional exemption, I feel, not to wear a mask. And it's taken the desire to go places for me because I don't even want the conflict. And I don't know if that's kind of how you are feeling at all, but I don't even want to be confronted. I don't even want to have to deal with any of that. But yesterday I had some necessary things to do, go to the store like we do, right? And so I decided to venture into one of the big box stores. And of course, right at the door, they asked me or nicely reminded me, nice, where's your mask? You know, kind of thing. No confrontation. I just said, I'm exempt. Okay, have a good day. And it was interesting dealing with people inside the store. That's the part that I think more people are not so worried about the business owners or the cashiers. It's the dealing with the people inside who feel like they're the gotcha police, right? And I went around the corner pushing my cart along and I heard, oh, she doesn't have a mask on. And it was really loud. And the gentleman with this gal said, it's okay, calm down. She probably has a good reason. And it's just, we are in an interesting place right now in society. And everybody's telling us nationally, right, that if we all wore the mask, if we wear the mask for 6 weeks, in 6 weeks, it'll go away. That's what we're being told. Do you believe that? I don't know. I think we'll just get used to wearing a mask and we'll continue to shame people that don't. I'm a little frustrated because I thought maybe I'd find some others who had medical reasons not to or constitutional reasons not to. And I think people just don't really want conflict. And I get that too. And I do think that if you feel like it's bringing you some safety and it helps you in your anxiety that way, that's fine too. But it is an interesting place that we're living in. Another interesting issue that I've been watching online develop is this Oregon unemployment fiasco. Oregon unemployment, this last week, they've been putting out different kinds of press releases. In particular, the one that was interesting to me is like, quit calling us because we're having problems with our phone. We can call out, but don't call us. And certainly don't use those apps that are auto dialers. You're messing up our system. How are people to get a hold of you? How are people to communicate? They're still waiting. They're wanting to know. And they're you know, putting out these press releases saying that they're doing such a great job. Now, let me read you this particular press release because it's very confusing to me. And I'm going to pull it up right here on my computer. So they're kind of touting their own horn yesterday. This is what they said. As of this morning, we've auto-processed about 48,000 weekly PUI certifications from nearly 17,000 people through the online PUA form. This is just one of the many ways we're pushing harder to get benefits to you. In PUA, we have roughly 400 dedicated employees working on PUA claims. We are processing weekly certifications much quicker and are cautiously optimistic about meeting our August 8th deadline. Does that make any sense to you? To me, it's like gibberish. It reminds me that they're talking at us, not with us. And out of the 48,000, now, does that mean that that's just the people that are already in the systems getting their weekly claims? Are they just touting what they should be doing anyway? Or is it 48,000 out of the 70,000? See, you can throw numbers all you want all day, but if it doesn't really mean anything and we're not feeling like we're getting our needs met, it's nothing. It's gibberish in my mind. And so I want to encourage you to continue to keep calling your senators, your representatives, continue to keep calling the unemployment folks, keep calling. And even if it's not affecting you directly, maybe you know someone is, call on their behalf. Help. Help sound the horn that this is something that needs to be done. Now, on another note, they're planning a rally this week in Salem. You may or may not know. You know, we've had all these rallies every week. This is a rally to support Portland and the opposition to the feds coming into Portland. Have you heard about this rally in Salem? So I saw that release too on my Facebook feed, and I said, oh, is this a rally against because people aren't getting unemployment? Is this a rally because businesses are being destroyed and no one's going downtown anymore? And she's like, no, this is to stand united in solidarity with those in Portland who are against the feds. And I'm thinking, oh boy. Well, out of that discussion, I had a coffee date out of that. I'm hoping that maybe I can meet with one of these individuals who I think are involved in the protest in Portland. And who knows if they'll meet. They're using a false name, but wouldn't that be cool? I'm still hopeful that we can get in touch with some of these people and have these discussions and conversations to see why do they believe they're making a difference. And I believe that if we win these people and they find that we're human, they're human, we can move the conversation down the road to something more productive. Like, hey, let's talk about unemployment in our state. Hey, how about all these wonderful mandates? Did you know if you put a boat on the creek or some kind of kayak or raft that's over 10 feet, that there is a fee for that? Did you know that? And if you don't have a permit to do so, you're going to get fined $115. That was in the paper today. It seems like in Oregon, there's all these oppressive, repressive things going on that individuals don't know. And I think that's important. Those are the kinds of things that I think we need to fight and come together for. Let's make it easier to live in Oregon and come together for real change that makes a difference. Don't you agree? Well, as we continue the conversation today, I am excited to bring into the studio someone that I think is going to be extremely helpful for us. I don't know about you, but when this shift happened with COVID-19 and everybody had to go work from home, teach their kids from home, all of a sudden your cell phone that was maybe a way to keep communicating, you know, with friends and family became essential, right? It's your key to Zoom meetings and all of those things. And I've been concerned a little bit about even in my own life, my technology skills. And I know certainly even last weekend I met a gentleman who said, when you talk on your radio program, please give phone numbers, because some of us don't even use computers. We don't even have smartphones. So please leave a phone number. And I thank Bob for that insight on my show. I have to remember that. And I remember the day I was standing on the side of the road in a car accident. And it was in 2002. And I was one of these last to get a cell phone because I'm like, I am not going to be told that I need to spend $100 a month on a cell phone. It's not necessary. But guess what? I was in a car accident and no one helped us. No one made a phone call because they just assumed, I think, that we had a cell phone. Guess what? After that, I had a cell phone. So there are reasons. And I've brought Joshua into the studio with me. He has J&M Technologies, always working. I got that part. And we met last week because he was one of the sponsors of the Rise Up, Oregon Rise Up rally that we had on Saturday. And he is so innovative and skilled. I thought, man, he's got a story to tell, and I want him to come into the studio and talk to us. So thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. It's going very well.
Give us a road report coming across town. How was it?
It wasn't bad. Okay. Not too much traffic, and it was pretty good.
Pretty good this morning, huh?
Yeah. Coffee line was a little long. That's okay.
Yeah, give us the status of the coffee line. That's true. So tell us about your business, the name of it, how long you've been in business.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So we're JM Technologies. We're a local business. We're technology solution specialists for mostly businesses. We've been in business since 2015, and we're basically just a solutions-based company. We come in and we just find innovative ways to help businesses function better and help with their operations and things like that.
When we talk about the development of technology in our lives, you and I kind of off the mic, we're talking about that. Give us kind of, we've got about 3 minutes before our first break, but give us a history of it, kind of a synopsis of where we were and where we're at now.
Sure. So technology's played, right now, it plays a huge role in everybody's life. I mean, there's no doubt that pretty much anybody and everybody anymore has a cell phone. They're communicating through it. They're texting and messaging and emailing and taking photos and, you know, looking up apps and using their navigation. And I mean, just everything. We're completely attached to just the cell phone in its entirety and just kind of the tech vulnerabilities that we have associated with that. I mean, it's a very real thing. And the innovations on how fast it's growing and how fast it's expanding is well beyond the knowledge, I think, of the average user. So it's very important to kind of express those vulnerabilities and teach people how to protect themselves, you know, from just various different things. There's just a lot of stuff out there that's grabbing all your data. The key of information anymore is just tracking metadata, how much information can they get from you is really the name of the game in a lot of these apps and stuff now.
Well, I find it kind of comforting, and I know a lot of parents do as well, when your kids have a cell phone, and, mm-hmm. and I know things have shifted in the last few months in regards to kids learning from home right now,
yep.
with the COVID-19. But so there's like a sense of, well, if I give my 10-year-old a cell phone, then that hour and a half, 2 hours between the time they get out of school, walk home, get dropped off from the bus, and I get home, then they're safe.
Sure.
And one of my concerns is, again, it's a false sense of security in a sense.
Absolutely.
Because giving
yep.
them, it's like, go play in the middle of the highway, my love,
mm-hmm.
and be safe if you're not prepared. And I think that's part of the reason why I wanted to have you in here to talk about that. But let me just say, there is a comforting part of knowing that I'm here in Oregon. My almost 19-year-old daughter, who's in college and working and back on the farm in Arkansas,
mm-hmm.
I know where she's at because we've agreed to let each other
yeah.
track each other, and I
yep.
know that she's safe as a young woman. There is some advantage to that, but there's some disadvantage to that as well, right? So I want us to get into this a little more of ways that we can safeguard our own phone and set it up. Maybe you can help us with that
yep.
and things we can do so we can have those tracking us we want to and those who we don't.
Absolutely.
Well, so
yep.
we'll get back into that, continuing the
awesome.
Conversation about technology today. You're listening to KSLM Real Radio for you today, and we're glad to be here with you. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you, wherever you are this morning. Thank you for tuning in. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann, Reliable News Talk Radio. Don't forget to pick up your very own copy of The Best of the Willamette Valley. 329 businesses voted the best by you. And it's been fun. I've been carrying these around when I do different meet and greets. And I'm already on like box two, giving them away. So we have them here at the studio. And then I want to encourage you, if you go to thebestofthewillamettevalley.com, you can find the businesses there. You can pick one up as well. It's good to have in your car when you're not sure. You know, you ever have that, I don't know where to go. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Pull out this little book and look at the best of and the gold and silvers that you have voted and your friends and neighbors have voted on, and go try it out and then let us know how it went. That would be fun, wouldn't it? Well, there's something fun going on this Saturday. In fact, I want to thank David Medina, who gave me this press release. If you're in the Silverton area, and even if you're not, I encourage you to go on over. I am excited about all the efforts. I hear so many people wanting to honor our Heroes in Blue. And this is Heroes in Blue, We Thank You, July 25th. That's this Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And we'll put this on our Facebook page. There's going to be a fun event for the whole family. There'll be food and activities, and we're going to celebrate our folks, men and women, who are serving on the front lines, and our heroes, and our, I think, Marion County Sheriff, some of the Silverton Police will be there. And then at the very bottom it says, and like I said, I'll put this on our Facebook page. It says, click here if you want to nominate an officer that goes above and beyond their line of duty and deserves recognition for their work. I think that's great. If you have a positive story of interaction with an officer, wonderful. If your life has been saved by an officer, they want to hear the story. And so I'll put this on our Facebook page, KSLM Radio. Like us there, and then you'll be have an opportunity to stay connected. The Russians Old Believer community sponsoring this. I think it's going to be a wonderful time. And Josh is in the studio with me. He's with J&M Technologies. They're always working. And he and I met at a rally, similar kind of an organizational thing that you helped sponsor and plan.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about why, and we'll just go into this a little bit, what stirred you to get involved in something like this?
So it's pretty simple. You know, we look around and we see things going on every day, and obviously our lives are changing, and there's a lot of unknowns out there, and there's a lot of things. And we're always looking for a leader and always looking for somebody to do something and organize, and we always kind of push things off of like, oh yeah, we're going to do that, we'll get to that, we'll do this, we'll do that. Well, you know, I have a lot of experience doing production and different things, mm-hmm. and so I figured I could help. So I reached out to some people doing a rally down at the Capitol last weekend, and I was like, hey, I'll do stage and sound and everything for you, mm-hmm. and really utilize, you know, basically a bunch of equipment I can't use right now because nobody can do any events.
Right.
We were planning on doing a huge festival in August this year, and that we had to cancel it in February, just because how the tea leaves were falling and mm-hmm. everything else. And so, you know, there's just a lot of circumstances surrounding it, and I think I have a lot to say about it. There's a lot of interesting things and interesting anomalies surrounding all of this, and I think people need to know. And you know, there's just a lot of information that isn't being told, that isn't being conveyed, and technology is being used to suppress people,
right,
and to suppress that speech. And we're all being attacked by all these entities, and this Trojan horse called a phone is sitting right inside of us, laying next to our beds every night, mm-hmm. listening to everything that you're doing, and they're using that information, and it's basically being slowly confined to what we're able to see and what we're able to do, and it's concerning, and I think people need to know about it and talk about it. So getting involved with these rallies and talking about these types of things, it's really important because a lot of people don't know. They don't realize that, you know, what Google used to be 5 years ago is not the same.
Right.
And they're curating the search engines to where you actually only see what they want you to see. You're no longer getting the authentic algorithm in which they've originally created it. They broke their algorithm a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're curating it, and they're just kind of doing what's called shadow banning and different types of censorships and things like that, to where what we're seeing, because we're so dependent on our devices now, what we're seeing is our reality through the digital reality is essentially being curated through a lot of these tech devices. And
what that means, what I'm going to break that down and what I understand, make sure I'm correctly understanding you, is when you put in Arabian horses,
mm-hmm.
right? You put in, I'm just going to be non-political about this, and we'll tie it in. You put in Arabian horses, then Google is going to put in what they want you to see.
Correct.
Not the wide range of variety. And you can pick the different things. They've already prescribed what they think. Mm-hmm. And some of that's tied to dollar amount, right? Who's
sure.
the number one position and
yep.
paid for that advertising and all of that. So then you transition that over to, let's say, oh, I'm going to do research on our mask effective.
Yeah.
And guess what?
If you're going to get blasted.
You're going to get blasted with all the propaganda and the truth of where these research,
sure.
you won't find it.
And it's not saying that, you know, anything surrounding this COVID-19 thing is a complete hoax or isn't a hoax or anything like that. But when they're censoring information and then there's thousands of doctors that are coming out and talking and speaking out against it, this technology is being used to suppress them. You
mm-hmm.
don't see them. They're not getting that normal platform in which the internet used to be.
Right.
Because they're being curated through these systems like Google, which is 93% of all searches are done through Google. That's pretty much a monopoly on the market. People aren't using alternative forms of anything. People are Googling Facebook to go to Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the address bar is kind of a thing of the past, and everybody just kind of goes to Google.
Mm.
And so kind of educating people, like, there is things beyond that, and we don't have to use those systems. And the reality is that it is being curated, and they call it curating. You know, Apple calls it curating
mm-hmm.
when they're determining what you can see in their news feeds versus not. You know, maybe you are interested in horses, but they don't want you to look at all horses. They want you to look at these horses,
mm-hmm.
or maybe this horse company is giving them, you know, $50,000 a year, and so they're going to put it at the top search. So if you look at Google searches now, it's, you know, half the page is advertising.
Right.
So it's just, it's super fascinating to get into.
So it's not like going to Webster's Dictionary, opening it up and searching and finding the definition, which our brain is trained to think like. It's
no,
not like that at all.
More importantly, even the burning of books and just the change of information of what we used to think is being altered in our very eyes through this digital system.
Changing history, and we're watching it. We're living in it right now. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. We're going to continue the conversation after this. We'll be back. Listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, and hanging out in the studio with my new friend Joshua. And we are talking about technology today. And there's so much information. We could really do probably a 4-hour.
We could talk for 24 hours about this.
Oh my gosh, it's never ending.
It's crazy.
Talk to me a little bit about with this COVID-19 and with the masks. And, you know, when this all broke out, they're like, no, don't wear the mask. And the information's changing. And like I said, a gal I was communicating, Terry and I were communicating back from Arkansas, and Arkansas has just now had a mandate. We've had
mm-hmm.
it for a while, but Arkansas, where everybody's got to wear a mask, so there's all the debating, all the things that we've been dealing with for 6 weeks here, they're just starting to deal with their friends and family. And she's like, well, show me the research. Show me the research.
Yeah.
The masks don't work. Well, I know I've found them, and I have things. I'm going to have to start saving direct links when I see them and grab
yep.
them.
And you got to print them out.
And you got to print them out because it's ever-changing,
they'll purge
right?
it.
Yeah.
yeah.
And I'm concerned about these contract tracing jobs, and
mm-hmm.
I've heard that through your phone and some of the updates. It's just going to automatically
yeah.
track you. Talk
yeah,
to me a little bit about that.
Well, so what's interesting is if anybody's done an update, you know, pretty much on any phone at this juncture, Samsung and iPhones are pretty much the big ones. I know I had a guy, I think he had an LG phone,
mm-hmm.
But there's this COVID-19 app, and he showed me, he's like, hey, I can't delete this. And I'm like, yeah, That's what it's for. They got you. You're dependent on this phone now. Like, this is, you don't have a house phone anymore. You don't mm-hmm. have this. And so what they're doing is, whether you want to or not, they're opting you into this tracing program, you know, which is, you know, funded by Bill Gates, and, you know, Bill Clinton's actually talking about being involved with it, which is really interesting, in itself. And I think should be worth talking about. But these contact tracers, they've contacted, there was a guy, I was listening to or hearing a story about it yesterday. There's a guy, he got contacted by one of these contact tracers saying that he was positive for COVID-19, and they were asking him how he felt. And he went to the line to get tested. The line was too long. He signed up at the beginning. He waited in line, never got tested, and he left. Mm. And then 3 days later, he had these contact tracers calling him and asking him how he's feeling and saying that he tested positive. And he's like, well, I didn't even take a test. Well, there's, it says here that you're positive. And he's like, well, I never took a test. How could I be positive? And so they're like, okay, well, you know, we'll do this, do that. And then they called him again the next day, and a different contact tracer. So realistically, like, this whole rollout of this mask mandate, whether they work or whether they don't work, whatever, I mean, I'm not willing to have that debate. Personally, I don't see them working. Mm-hmm. Most people are wearing a scarf over their face. Mm-hmm. Simone Gold out of California said that, you know, if you wear a scarf over your face, it's like trying to block a mosquito from getting through a chain link fence.
That's right.
I mean, it's just, you know, the science is there. If you guys want to look up what an N95 mask actually does and what it actually is, go to the 3M website and, mm-hmm. and look at it.
Directly.
Listen, pull out the insert or the exactly what that mask does if you want to learn about what it prevents. And then also figure out what the COVID-19 virus actually is too. Figure out the size of that. Figure out the size of which the mask filters, how it works. Remember, this thing was in a level 4 bioweapons lab in China, and you know, they had full body suits that are airtight, you know, experimenting with this thing. I don't think that your scarf is going to really do a lot, right? So let's talk about kind of what that is segueing into and what the mask, I think, is actually being used for. It's really being used to test the waters. It's kind of a rollout beta test to see how much we can conform and how quickly. And what's really fascinating to me is just that there's not a lot of people really contesting against this,
right,
or even questioning it. It's unbelievable to me how everybody's just like, okay, well, I guess this is what we got to do now.
Go along to get along.
We got to go along. We don't mm-hmm. want to. We don't want to have any issues. We don't want to question this. We don't want to ask any of these questions or anything like that. And it's fascinating to me. But what's even more fascinating is they're emboldening all these, you know, minimum wage workers to be the enforcers.
Mm-hmm.
And so they now become the enforcers, and they're giving this new complex, mm-hmm. I think, mental complex. Mm-hmm. To these people who are the enforcers of this mask mandate, right? Because what does it do next? Like, oh, okay, you know, now they're going to, you know, instill this lockdown and say, okay, well, Mr. Smith here, you can only leave on Tuesdays and Fridays now to get your groceries.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, well, you know, I got to go somewhere on Wednesday. Sorry, sir. It's for your protection and it's for your safety. Now this is what you have to do. And then everybody's going to go, okay, well, I guess I got to, you know, mm-hmm. I can't leave on Wednesday. You know, I guess I got to change my plans. And that to me is the most concerning thing surrounding this whole deal, is how effortlessly that everybody's just conforming
right.
to it. And it's not that I'm saying it doesn't work. It's not that I'm saying that there's not a real virus out there. Not saying that any of that, but just how basically just everybody just, you know, they're like, okay, I guess this is what we're doing now. And we got to look back at the reality. You know, this whole mandate and the whole shutdown, everything was based around a projection.
Exactly.
It was not based on facts or testing. They didn't have testing or anything like that. It was all based on a projection. And so that projection was way wrong. And yeah, we flatten the curve. Remember the flatten the curve deal, okay? Nobody's talking about flattening the curve now.
More.
Now it's like, you don't want to kill your grandma. You better wear a mask.
Let me tell you something about my grandma.
Yeah.
My 93-year-old grandma had COVID. She survived, and she's doing better. She's living with my aunt now.
Yep.
And out of that whole assisted living. And so if my grandma with underlying
That's
medical.
Awesome.
Yes. And
that
I
is
believe
amazing.
A lot of prayer and,
yep.
And an answer to my prayer, because I hope to see her in a few weeks. And,
yeah.
And so I question it. We need to question it.
It's okay.
It's okay.
And it's okay. And if you don't feel comfortable, if you don't like being suffocated, hashtag can't breathe, you know, that's okay. It's okay to say, hey, you know, I can't do that. And when, as our rights as citizens, is it okay to say, well, you know, I don't really feel comfortable doing that and I don't want to do that. But we're just being browbeated on everything surrounding that. And it's just no question. It's just this complacent conformity just rolling over, you know. And there's some really interesting stuff out there. You know, there's this doctor, Richard Bartlett, I think. He's a West Texas doctor. He said he's got the cure for COVID. He said it's the silver bullet. And it's called budesonide or something like that. But it's a steroid. He said this gal, she was laying on her back. She had COVID-19. She was laying on her back for 5 days, couldn't breathe, just in agony. Heard him on the radio. He was talking about how he had this, you know, treatment, everything like that. And she called him. And that afternoon, she got in there, got a treatment. That was a Friday afternoon. Took it that evening. Within 3 days, she went and worked an 8-hour shift that Monday.
Will you get me a link to that article or that article? We'll put it up on our Facebook page.
Absolutely.
That sounds great. What's your website?
JMSecure.com.
What's your phone number?
503-210-5550.
For your technology needs, he's always working. Joshua, thank you so much for being here. We will have you back, okay?
Thank you so
and
much.
We'll talk about a webinar, too, all right?
All right. Take care.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. A fun morning, lots of information. I don't know about you. I'm a little stirred up. We'll get there. We'll be a part of the solution, you and I. Have a wonderful Wednesday. And remember, no matter what you're facing today, around, over, under, or through, you and I, yep, we're overcomers. Have a blessed day. Listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, and hanging out in the studio with my new friend Joshua. And we are talking about technology today. And there's so much information. We could really do probably a 4-hour.
We could talk for 24 hours about this.
Oh my gosh, it's never ending.
It's crazy.
Talk to me a little bit about with this COVID-19 and with the masks. And, you know, when this all broke out, they're like, no, don't wear the mask. And the information's changing. And like I said, a gal I was communicating, Terry and I were communicating back from Arkansas, and Arkansas has just now had a mandate. We've had it for a while, but Arkansas, where everybody's got to wear a mask, so there's all the debating, all the things that we've been dealing with for 6 weeks here, they're just starting to deal with their friends and family. And she's like, well, show me the research. Show me the research.
Yeah.
The masks don't work. Well, I know I've found them, and I have things. I'm going to have to start saving direct links when I see them and grab them.
And you got to print them out.
And you got to print them out because it's ever-changing,
they'll purge
right?
It. Yeah.
And I'm concerned about these contract tracing jobs, and I've heard that through your phone and some of the updates. It's just going to automatically track you. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, so what's interesting is if anybody's done an update, you know, pretty much on any phone at this juncture, Samsung and iPhones are pretty much the big ones. I know I had a guy, I think he had an LG phone, but there's this COVID-19 app, and he showed me, he's like, hey, I can't delete this. And I'm like, yeah, that's what it's for. They got you. You're dependent on this phone now. Like, this is, you don't have a house phone anymore. You don't have this. And so what they're doing is, whether you want to or not, they're opting you into this tracing program, you know, which is, you know, funded by Bill Gates, and, you know, Bill Clinton's actually talking about being involved with it, which is really interesting, in itself. And I think should be worth talking about. But these contact tracers, they've contacted, there was a guy, I was listening to or hearing a story about it yesterday. There's a guy, he got contacted by one of these contact tracers saying that he was positive for COVID-19, and they were asking him how he felt. And he went to the line to get tested. The line was too long. He signed up at the beginning. He waited in line, never got tested, and he left. And then 3 days later, he had these contact tracers calling him and asking him how he's feeling and saying that he tested positive. And he's like, well, I didn't even take a test. Well, there's, it says here that you're positive. And he's like, well, I never took a test. How could I be positive? And so they're like, okay, well, you know, we'll do this, do that. And then they called him again the next day, and a different contact tracer. So realistically, like, this whole rollout of this mask mandate, whether they work or whether they don't work, whatever, I mean, I'm not willing to have that debate personally. I don't see them working. Most people are wearing a scarf over their face. Simone Gold out of California said that, you know, if you wear a scarf over your face, it's like trying to block a mosquito from getting through a chain link fence.
That's right.
I mean, it's just, you know, the science is there. If you guys want to look up what an N95 mask actually does and what it actually is, go to the 3M website and, and look at it.
Directly.
Listen, pull out the insert or the exactly what that mask does if you want to learn about what it prevents. And then also figure out what the COVID-19 virus actually is too. Figure out the size of that. Figure out the size of which the mask filters, how it works. Remember, this thing was in a level 4 bioweapons lab in China, and you know, they had full body suits that are airtight, you know, experimenting with this thing. I don't think that your scarf is going to really do a lot, right? So let's talk about kind of what that is segueing into and what the mask, I think, is actually being used for. It's really being used to test the waters. It's kind of a rollout beta test to see how much we can conform and how quickly. And what's really fascinating to me is just that there's not a lot of people really contesting against this,
right,
or even questioning it. It's unbelievable to me how everybody's just like, okay, well, I guess this is what we got to do now.
Go along and to get along.
We got to go along. We don't want to. We don't want to have any issues. We don't want to question this. We don't want to ask any of these questions or anything like that. And it's fascinating to me. But what's even more fascinating is they're emboldening all these, you know, minimum wage workers to be the enforcers. And so they now become the enforcers, and they're giving this new complex, I think, mental complex. To these people who are the enforcers of this mask mandate, right? Because what does it do next? Like, oh, okay, you know, now they're going to, you know, instill this lockdown and say, okay, well, Mr. Smith here, you can only leave on Tuesdays and Fridays now to get your groceries. And you're like, well, you know, I got to go somewhere on Wednesday. Sorry, sir. It's for your protection. And it's for your safety. Now this is what you have to do. And then everybody's going to go, okay, well, I guess I got to, you know, I can't leave on Wednesday. You know, I guess I got to change my plans. And that to me is the most concerning thing surrounding this whole deal, is how effortlessly that everybody's just conforming to it. And it's not that I'm saying it doesn't work. It's not that I'm saying that there's not a real virus out there. Not saying that any of that, but just how basically just everybody just, you know, they're like, okay, I guess this is what we're doing now. And we got to look back at the reality. You know, this whole mandate and the whole shutdown, everything was based around a projection.
Exactly.
It was not based on facts or testing. They didn't have testing or anything like that. It was all based on a projection. And so that projection was way wrong. And yeah, we flatten the curve. Remember the flatten the curve deal, okay? Nobody's talking about flattening the curve
now. More.
Now it's like, you don't want to kill your grandma, you better wear a mask.
Let me tell you something about my grandma.
Yeah.
My 93-year-old grandma had COVID. She survived, and she's doing better. She's living with my aunt now.
Yep.
And out of that whole assisted living. And so if my grandma with underlying
That's
medical...
Awesome.
Yes,
it,
and
that
I believe
amazing.
A lot of prayer and,
yep.
and an answer to my prayer, because I hope to see her in a few weeks. And,
yeah.
And so I question it. We need to question it.
It's okay.
It's okay.
And it's okay. And if you don't feel comfortable, if you don't like being suffocated, hashtag can't breathe, you know, that's okay. It's okay to say, hey, you know, I can't do that. And when, as our rights as citizens, is it okay to say, well, you know, I don't really feel comfortable doing that and I don't want to do that. But we're just being browbeated on everything surrounding that. And it's just no question. It's just this complacent conformity just rolling over, you know. And there's some really interesting stuff out there. You know, there's this doctor, Richard Bartlett, I think. He's a West Texas doctor. He said he's got the cure for COVID. He said it's the silver bullet. And it's called budesonide or something like that. But it's a steroid. He said this gal, she was laying on her back. She had COVID-19. She was laying on her back for 5 days, couldn't breathe, just in agony. Heard him on the radio. He was talking about how he had this, you know, treatment and everything like that. And she called him. And that afternoon, she got in there, got a treatment. That was a Friday afternoon. Took it that evening. Within 3 days, she went and worked an 8-hour shift that Monday.
Will you get me a link to that article or that article? We'll put it up on our Facebook page.
Absolutely.
That sounds great. What's your website?
JMSecure.com.
What's your phone number?
503-210-5550.
For your technology needs, he's always working. Joshua, thank you so much for being here. We will have you back, okay?
Thank you so
much. We'll talk about a webinar, too, all right?
All right. Take care.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. A fun morning. Lots of information. I don't know about you. I'm a little stirred up. We'll get there. We'll be a part of the solution, you and I. Have a wonderful Wednesday. And remember, no matter what you're facing today around, over, under, or through you and I, yep, we're overcomers. Have a blessed day.